Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The world outside your window is not great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is super because we're about to cop the Iron Man 3's baby. And we're here to cover She-Hulk, of course. Season 1, Episode 2. I am your host, Sasha Joseph, but of course, I have to bring in the best partner, the person that actually did the homework, the person that actually reads the comic. We have to bring in Jason Reed. Welcome. We're here for episode 2. We haven't been canceled yet.
Yes, thankfully we are still here, still green, still large, have not shrunken down and gotten super drunk. Happy to be here. Happy to be talking She-Hulk again. Solid episode. Probably I enjoyed it a little less than episode 1.
Same.
But solid episode.
Yeah. Let's get into that a little bit really quickly before we like get into the meat of everything. But I feel like this episode, when it finished, I was surprised it was over. It was giving, if you're watching Big Brother, you know, Kyle energy. Because I was like, it's over already? What happened? But
real wham bam, thank you, ma'am, of an episode.
A very much that. You know, things Captain America would never do. I'm bored. I gotta be stopped. So you know, that's my overall, where I'm excited. I think we'll get into this a little. We talked before we recorded about the lawyering as well. Where is it? Let's get into it. But besides that, fun show. I just think that because of the confusion or the change of making the finale, right, the first episode, I think that's causing maybe a little bit of stress on these first two.
Yeah, this felt like this was some content that was supposed to be in episode 1 that got shifted back. I think maybe, you know, I would imagine maybe the end of episode 1 was like her losing her job because she was She-Hulk in the courtroom, and then the second episode picks up with her coming to the new job. I don't know. But yeah, you can tell that something's a little bit wonky, but I'm still enjoying it. Like you said, it was over and I was like, oh, that's the show. It was like 30 minutes and 17 seconds. So, and the first episode was like 37 minutes. So, and there's a lot more, it seemed, that was packed into the first episode. Like it really went, the pace was great. This one was just like, it was a lot of setup for what's to come. And I'm glad we kind of got it out of the way so that we can get more show later on. We didn't have a whole episode with her having to find a job and then trying to get a job. We got a whole episode. Yeah. Where she got fired. She found the job. She got to the job. She got Emil Blonsky. So I'm glad that we covered so much in this episode so we can get it out of the way.
But you're on thin ice, She-Hulk, because we said this last time, and now we're saying it again. So after this, no more. Okay, enough already. Because let's get to the lawyering. But let's get to
the nitty-gritty. So, I mean, how much lawyering do you want in the show? Do you want like, you know, I think we had a commenter in the patron group.
Yes.
You know, saying that he wants it to be like kind of a satire of Law and Order. Is that what you want? Do you want a case of the week? Do you want a start to finish case?
Yes, I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff, so I wouldn't mind it. But again, if it's going to take away from the actual story where they need to, like, you know, put in so many different superheroes, supervillains, whatever, that Jennifer Walters needs to actually fight for, then maybe not. But if it's like a fun addition and it works, sure. But listen, if you're giving me this 30-minute tight timelines, maybe not. Maybe I take it back. But in my research, Jason, of this show, I was also seeing, because in the bar, Ally McBeal was playing. Yeah. So I was like, where did that come from? What happened? And it seems like it is a little bit of borrowed, inspired by that as well. So if folks were Ally McBeal fans, like maybe this is on par with that. So let me know. I don't remember that show. I feel like I watched it, but I don't remember. Yeah,
I can see where they're drawing the inspiration from. It's a yes. Strong female lawyer, mm-hmm. in a, you know, in a law firm with a bunch of, you know, Ally McBeal, I think, remembering, I never watched it regularly, but what I can know, remember from what the show is like a real ensemble show with Ally McBeal being at the center of it. So I can see how that will parallel with She-Hulk, where we meet some of the characters that are going to be in the law firm this episode.
Yes. So, you know, just that's a little bit of a setup for all of us. But before we get into superhuman law, we have a little bit of things we need to clear up from episode one. So thank you to Ellen and Margaret. Ellen reached out to me on Facebook and Margaret reached out to us on Twitter about DBT. So I feel like we gotta clear up some space here for that, because Ellen told me on Facebook that she actually specializes in it and in dialectical behavioral therapy, and it actually is a very effective evidence-based treatment that she's been Ellen has been working with many teens and adults on using it to deal with like the general stress of COVID and honestly the hot mess that our country is, which shout out Ellen, I feel you. I understand that. And Margaret gave a similar where Margaret also shared a lot about what DBT was and why it's used. And yes, we did not mean to come off like as it was this like frou-frou thing happening. It was more just part of the whole segment was a lot with Jennifer talking about the yoga and that very much triggering me. So thank you to all of y'all, because this is what we need. OK, like. I appreciate it. Okay?
Yes, please check us, but in a nice way, like these two people did.
Yes.
They came at us very respectfully, and we appreciate that, letting us know, educating us. And we do offer our sincere apologies for kind of, you know, being a little flippant about it.
Yes.
We probably should have done some research, but, you know, kind of thought that it was just like a lot of big words smushed together for a TV show. But we found out that that's not the case.
Because Marvel does homework. Like, what yes. are we doing? And if we did 1 second of homework, maybe we would have known, but here we are. So thank you to the both of you. It's just, I, you know, wanted to shout y'all out because you called us in, not out. So here we are. But now, Jason, I think it's time we get into She-Hulk episode one. Oh no, episode season one. Oh my God. Episode two. Here I am. Superhuman law. So This is where it starts pretty fun. This is why I was like, yes, I'm in it. We're having fun from 0.1 second. We're here. Because 1 millisecond. It's it. Because now, okay, set the scene. There's a bunch of news going on. What is this? Is she Chick Hulk? Is she? Which is like, I hate this. And I want to like crawl in a hole.
Well, they knew that you would hate it. That's why they put it in.
Yeah. Like, let's fight, you know, because why would you do this to me? I don't appreciate it. But they're just talking about a lot of her names. What could it be? Blah, blah, blah. But in addition to that, I have to say, we get a lot of news reports. So how are you feeling about this?
I'm feeling good. I mean, I can always, you know, appreciate some good, you know, additional adding to the story through news reports. We saw, you know, where they talk about Titania, and something that we learned about Titania through this news report is that she is a superpowered influencer, which is very interesting. And I really am excited to see Jamila, you know, encompass that, because I think that's something that she would be really good at, you know, judging from her, you know, her time on The Good Place, where that seems like it was something that she was, that's also similar to this character. So I'm excited to see that, hopefully, in episodes moving forward. I was a little surprised that we did not get her at all besides a news report in this episode.
Yeah, and I have to say again, because I did a little bit of research and watched a few recaps. So the bottom, like, is it Chiron, you said, right? Did I say it right?
Yeah. Oh,
look at me. Actually said her lawyer, funny, gave out a statement, or her PR firm, you know, because she is a super influencer, says, you know, the entire case was a misunderstanding and it was a result of extremely low blood sugar.
Listen, I think that we can all relate to that. Who has not raged out because they haven't had some chocolate for the day? It's something that we can all relate to.
Snickers made a whole marketing campaign out of it.
Exactly.
Like, I get it. Okay, she hulked out because she needed some food. And I just, again, I'm imagining like Jamil, like without any food. Or maybe I'm imagining Tahani, I want to say, just without something perfect. And she just hulks out because of that. So I wanted to bring everyone's like notice to that, because Marvel just will not stop with the Easter eggs, you know? So I keep having to call it out because it's so funny. And it's a missable detail. So we also see the news station a lot. So that it seems like it's going to come up a good amount. And it has come up in different Marvel and in the MCU. So here we are. Okay. And then an eyewitness says, a Hulk, like a Chick Hulk or She-Hulk.
Oh, question mark? Is this her new name?
And it seems like even though Jennifer hates it, okay, she's like, no, I don't want this. How do I change this?
Yeah, but she's not a branding person herself. She can't even, she can't come up with anything better. So I think it's probably going to stick.
Yeah, as someone that comes up with the lines for this show, the Everything is Super opening lines, we all know I will never come up with the fun marketing anything for my, like, it's not happening. But anyway, so seems like maybe this is here to stay, y'all. You know, not like it's the name of the whole comic series or anything, but it's okay. You know, we're gonna just let it be. And so now we get giant size Jen and Nikki walking into a bar, hilariously called Illegal Ease.
Yeah, I wonder how is Jen's clothing working, because it's not tearing when she's growing. Is she just wearing really loose clothes as Jen so that when she transforms, it won't rip off of her?
Me think spandex, right? Your best friend is spandex. Best friend,
yeah.
So, but I don't think they make like whole power suits in spandex. But they make a sweatshirt material sweatshirt material power suits, which are very comfy but look nice. So I think just like how a legging would work, that's what I like, where she's just, it's being able to kind of grow with her.
That makes sense. I mean, in the comics, they would just explain it away, saying that we made wardrobe out of unstable molecules, so they will grow with the person as they grow. But we don't have that yet in the MCU, so we'll just stick with spandex.
Yes. So it's a whole lot of spandex, and we love it. So they walk in, and of course, She-Hulk is being chanted.
Yeah. This was a fun... I mean, and it's interesting to me, this show really shows like kind of the person on the street level of how people look at the superheroes. Cause it's like, no one really bats an eye that She-Hulk is walking into the bar. It's like, oh my God, what is that? So I think this is a, you know, the MCU has become like a place that is comfortable with superpowered people running around, because, you know, no one was freaked out. No one was like, oh my God, it's She-Hulk. You're like, hey, She-Hulk, what's up? Good to see you. Cause you know, now they know it. I mean, with this and the news reports and the webpage we'll talk about later, it seems like superpowered beings have become just really just modern, just commonplace in this universe now.
Yeah, I think if we were in the MCU, Mess Magnets would be like a superhero dedicated podcast.
Yes.
Where we just be like, oh, Jen's outfit, let's talk more. How does it work? What spandex is it? Titania, yes, super influencer. Tell us more.
How many sexual partners does Steve Rogers actually have?
Right? Deep dive into it. I can't wait. So, So Jennifer, you know, says this is very stupid and better not stick, because I can't even exist without being a derivative of the Hulk. Truer words have not been spoken. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a little meta commentary too on the actual She-Hulk name that was made, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, where it was like any female character that came along had to be she this or lady that, as a, like she said, a derivative of whatever male superhero that was similar to that.
Yeah, and I love that she calls out nepotism, so funny, because and then it's all a little bit of all connection to Bruce, which I don't think she likes. So that's why I feel like it's also calling all of that out. And if Mrs., right, when you get married, Mrs. literally denotes possession of Mr. Right. So I like this happens to women literally all the time. It's the reason why I if someone ever calls me Mrs. anything, like, I will fight you. Just don't. Oh.
Call her Miss Joseph, everyone.
Yeah, or just Sasha. You know, we're good. Let's be friends. So I appreciate it just as a woman, like, you're either Miss or Mrs. It always changes, and it's constantly about your status in relation to usually men, but now, you know, it's just like status to marriage. So yeah. I appreciated the call out. Because speaking of sexism, our bestie Dennis is here.
Oh, Dennis. Dennis has to get, like, smushed by something, like, hurt in the whatever brawl comes up. But I think probably what we'll get is, by the end of the season, Jennifer is going to totally eviscerate him in court. Because you got to imagine, he's working for the DA's office because they were colleagues. And now she's working for, defense or whatever. So they're probably going to square off in court. I think we'll get our satisfaction by her just completely demolishing him in court.
Here's to hoping, because man says there's a hot chick over there. I'm going to talk to it. I'll fight you. Let's fight. Because I think here... Is it okay? Is it moral? Maybe this is a question for all of you out there. And, like, leave your answer in our reviews, because make sure you're giving us 5 stars only.
That's all we take.
Yes, please. It's all that's accepted. It's a little confusing, the algorithm. Anyway, so would it be moral for her to just, like, thump him in the head?
I mean, would it be moral? No. Would it be satisfying? Yes.
Why isn't it moral? You know, bad people, actions have consequences. Gosh. But anyway, that's just what I feel, but I guess it's fine. Anyway, and then we're back to now the questions, which is someone that's not me, because I have great ideas, but execution-wise, not so much. I need someone to, like, write down everything She-Hulk, like, the series says that is what fans think. Because here, you know, her and Nikki are talking, and she's just not wanting to be a superhero.
Well, yeah, and here she's, like, calling out the ridiculousness of some of these heroes. Like, I mean,
yes,
it's either, like, billionaires, narcissists, or adult orphans, which is so funny, because it's, like, just so many, so the descriptors for so many of these heroes that we see in the MCU, and it's just really kind of, like, the window that us fans get, that we say things like this, like, why are these messed up people becoming superheroes?
Literally, like, they shouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, they just need therapy sometimes instead. And she'd much rather be an assistant DA, oh, foreshadowing, than an Avenger. Because, listen, what is their payment plan? Do they have health care? Maternity leave? What's up?
I think probably when they were all, like, hooked up with Tony Stark, they probably got all that stuff. But now that he's dead, who knows? Who knows where all the, if they have any funding, where that would come from. So I would imagine it's all pretty much pro bono work being an Avenger right now.
Yeah, because Happy is too busy. Maybe. Oh, spoiler. Mourning
he's,
the loss.
He's mourning. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just say that. He's in mourning. No, not too much spoiler, but spoiler. I have to know, like, will they answer these questions? Because you're there giving me too many. Even later on when she goes to her family, all amazing questions that I need the answers to.
The questions, like, about the healthcare and maternity and all that? I think they'll
and
probably
Hulk's,
just
Hulk, no, Hawkeye's arrows.
Yeah, what's I think they're going to leave that? Us wondering on those questions. I think
please, someone write a dissertation.
We need Disney Plus shorts on all these things. Like, I need a Clint Barton and a Kate Bishop. After an adventure walking around New York picking up arrows, like, what, you think right. These come cheap? Like, no, we gotta get all these, we gotta snatch them all up,
live in retrace a damn barn steps. Yeah, what else can I do? Or is it like magnetic, that, or not magnetic, but like same properties where you just activate it and then all the arrows come back? Like,
do they put like Apple Air tags on all the arrows?
Yeah,
so they can go back and pick them up later. Like, that
it's
would make
Stark
sense,
technologies,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Again, if you know the answer, LMK, please. And then you come again. They just have to get you with the feminism, and I love it because her male boss shows up. Which is he the DA? I don't think, probably not. The DA can't just show up like that. But anyway, her boss comes, who's a man, and just immediately goes, "Can you shrink back to your human form?" Which I think just that interaction. There have been theses, many theses written about that.
What's the matter, sir? Are you intimidated by a stronger, larger woman?
Like, he literally asks her to shrink, you know, like shrink and not be her full self.
Yeah.
Oh, so smart. I love it. And then so that he can literally talk down to her, right? And then Jen, who hadn't planned this out very well, says, yeah, okay, cool. And forgot about the alcohol.
Yep. Blame it on the alcohol. She gets really messy after she shrinks down.
Oh, my God. Like, will we get her partying? Because I know that's a comic book thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to imagine that we're going to get her partying. There's been in the trailers, like, a lot of date scenes, a lot of, like, going out scenes. So I would imagine there's going to be something to that effect. In the comic books, she is a partier for sure.
Oh, love it. And then he's, you know, anyway, there's a bunch of news here where good news and worse news. And bad news. Just kidding. There's no good news. I tried. That Jen, when she was litigating last episode, it was declared a mistrial because she hulked out. And she saved the jury's life, which means that they would be biased towards her.
I mean, it does make sense, right? That makes total sense.
Then she should have let them die.
Yeah.
Is
I mean,
that what y'all are telling me?
Yeah, exactly. To get the justice that was needed, those people would have had to die. So that's fine.
Being on a jury, dangerous job. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, mistrial or new jury because the old jury had to die. Like, we got to win the case, right?
Win at all costs. It's giving.
Yeah.
And then he's saying now that her superpowers are a liability for their office. It brings too much attention, so she is fired.
Fired. She can't be a superhero lawyer because, I mean, and it kind of speaks to the times of today where it's like this happens one day and then the very like within a few hours, her identity is outed on the news. And it's like, this is who this is. Like, I'm surprised she doesn't have like paparazzi and stalkers like outside her door, you know, because of this.
I mean, they're scared, you know, big women. Yeah. Apparently, that's why. And then this is where I want to give the show credit, because besides, you know, I feel like they should sue her. But someone let me know what legally is possible for the DA's office, because I want to fight them. But again, maybe because Tony Stark is dead, they don't have the same access anymore to, like, healthcare, to lawyers, to PR people. I don't, you know, questions that need answered. But they yada yada, because now they said cue a montage, baby, yeah, of Jen just getting rejected over and over. And the law offices just go from, like, swanky to trash.
Yeah, this was a really great way for them to shoot this, whereas, like, she's stationary in the background. She keeps changing.
Yes.
And the people keep changing that are rejecting her. And it's just from, like you said, from swanky law offices to, like, back room, like, whatever. It's like, it was a really well done sequence.
Ugh, I loved it. And again, this is a fun way to yada yada, because it was appealing. The aesthetics, the vibes was great. So also amazing that she can land, you know, all of these in-person meetings. Teach us, but it's fine. So then, Jen's, you know, we're grateful maybe that she's not an adult orphan, because we get a text from her mom.
Oh gosh.
And now we have to talk about this, because did you see the phone?
I did see the phone. I did see the wallpaper. Yes. I just want to know if they can get Steve Rogers' ass in every episode in some type of way, because the wallpaper on her phone is Steve Rogers' ass. I just want to know if they control Chris Evans and, like, we're going to put your ass in every single episode of this show.
Yeah, like, will Ant-Man be on to, you know, sometime to be, like, America's ass?
Yeah.
We need to know. But in addition to all of that, right, we also get her looking at jobs, right? This is still here. It's before the family.
Yeah, so she's looking at a laptop, and it's like, yes, the page that she's on is a site that says that suggests 10 offbeat jobs for a fresh start. And the one that's most prominent on there is, like, Swiss Village mascot, which is just, you wouldn't think that it was something that was, like, that would be there, which makes it funny. It's just a really ridiculous thing to see. So that part of it's funny. But what everyone has been talking about on the internet since this episode came out was the two, like, article headings on the side of the page. One of which is about a man fighting with metal claws in a bar brawl. I mean, for those of you that don't know about, I don't know how you couldn't, don't know about the X-Man named Wolverine.
just a little man named Wolverine.
Just one of the most popular characters Marvel has. So, I mean, that seems to be hinting at that, which is very, very, like, for this show, which is a 30-minute comedy, it seems to really be letting us in on some big things upcoming for the Marvel Universe. Now, could this be a weird red herring, and we'll find out later that this was just some drunk guy, like, that had knives in his fingers? I wouldn't put it past Marvel. I really wouldn't. For them to be like, you know, once we get Wolverine introduced, be like, oh, but he wasn't in a bar in a brawl. Like, oh yeah, that wasn't Wolverine. That was just some guy with knives in his hands.
That is such a Wolverine thing to do.
Exactly. That's why I put it in them. Wolverine would get in a bar brawl, and he would, you know, he would be tearing up the bar with his claws. So that seems to be hinting at it, but I wouldn't put it past Marvel to be like, no, that's not Wolverine.
Yeah.
And then the other article we get is asking, why is there a giant statue of a man sticking out of the ocean? Now, this has been a issue within this whole phase of movies ever since the Eternals movie. We've all been wondering, why has no one mentioned in subsequent movies and TV shows why this giant celestial god is just kind of sticking his hand, a little bit of his head, outside of an ocean? Because that's what happened at the end of Eternals. They tried to raise the celestial, and he got, you know, they stopped the process in the middle of it, and he's just kind of sticking there, and no one has mentioned it. So this kind of gives you that satisfaction of, like, okay, fine, we'll give it to you. You know, like I said, this show was just giving us all these great moments that we've been wanting, And they're not even taking that long of a time to do it. It's just little blurbs for satisfaction.
And they know we exist, right? And we're going to sit here and talk about it forever. So they're like, I just need to give you a little bit and then y'all will run with it. Also, I can't believe they're finally bringing up Eternals.
Yeah. I mean, it's in a very, very, very like small way.
Is that on the Eternals dessert?
Yes, that is. I mean, hey, that's yes. That may be just all it needs and all it gets. But yeah, at least it's being mentioned.
I'll fight for Kingo. Okay, no one come for me. Oh,
also on this page, there were like tabs on the top. Find Ant-Man. I don't even know what that means.
Because he's like got lost in the quantum realm, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's one for Norse mythology referring to Thor. And then one that just says Avengers. Like, I want to know where these tabs on this page lead to.
This is like BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Where BuzzFeed is like, again, a celeb option, a quiz option, a news option. It was given that for me. And it looked like that, where BuzzFeed would have like 10 crazy jobs you want. Ice cream taster, video game tester. You know, that's what this was giving. And y'all, the QR code, if you scan it, gets you a free comic.
Yeah, it actually leads you to She-Hulk number one from the 2004 run, which this episode really takes a lot of its content from that issue. So if you read that comic, you'll see a lot of the things that were taken out of the comic, some of the things that were kind of reversed, which we'll talk about once we get there. So a little fun, little Easter egg in this one like web page in this episode. You get so much. Like I would like to see the minutes that TVs were paused on this one picture. It's got to be a lot.
Thank you to everyone that took the screenshot so we didn't have to pause forever and think about it all. And I appreciate that it's a free comic because you actually get to read about it. You know what I mean? I think that's a big deal for Marvel to do. I think that's really nice.
Well, I mean, listen, it's free marketing because
exactly. You know, I'm going to get it.
Yeah. Once you scan the code, it takes you to like Marvel Unlimited, which is their like comic service.
Yeah.
We can read like kind of back issues and stuff. So that's, you know, I'm a big fan of that Marvel Unlimited thing. It's how I read Marvel comics now. So it's a good service. I would suggest people to get it if you're into reading comics. But yeah, so it's good marketing and a good way to hip viewers on the comic experience of the show.
Yes. And then, like we said, the text came to come to family dinner. But I think, Jason, before we head to family dinner, as anyone maybe needs a break. So we're going to take a quick break before family dinner, and we'll be right back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So it's time to meet the best, the funniest family who just, I can't, okay? I can't with them. They're a lot for me. So I just hold on, okay, everyone? Because is this spoiler to talk about her family in the comic books that her dad isn't?
I don't think so, because I think this family is probably meant to be a little different from the comic book family. So you can talk about the family in the comics. That's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, she showed up to dinner at her parents' house, and it's very suburban, like all of this. And then we meet cousin Ched at Caliburro.
But first, she shows up, she gets met at the door by mom and dad. And when meet dad, if you are like me, and were a 90s kid who watched like TGIF, you might have gone Cousin Larry when you saw the dad, because the dad played Cousin Larry on Perfect Strangers, along with the character named Balky. So to see, and he, I know he was also in The Leftovers too, so don't come at me about that, but I know him best from Perfect Strangers, the sitcom on TGIF when I was a kid. So that really tickled me. I was like, oh, it's Cousin Larry. It brought me back to some great memories.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And then immediately they're like, well, we told everyone not to talk about you having no job.
Yeah. Which and then of course, friggin' Ched brings it up immediately. So if everyone remembers, they referenced Ched in the first episode, which I think probably was supposed to be in the last episode because we didn't know who Ched
that
was.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So like now, if we were to get that in the final episode, you'd be like, yeah, freaking Ched. What a genius, right? Yeah, exactly. Whereas in the first episode, it's like, okay, I don't know who Ched is. I don't know what they're talking about.
And I love that he's not a Chad, but he's Ched. Close enough. Okay. Mans is a manager at Best Buy.
He's moving up. He's doing big things in the world.
So, you know, because Jen could also maybe get a job at Best Buy. I don't know. What was the point, Ched? I don't know. Okay. And they're about to start dinner. And then, of course, her mom goes, you know, there's a nice young man I met at a coffee shop who was asking about being a superhero.
I mean, they really come into this like she knows every single thing about being a superhero now. Like she's been super powered, not even a superhero technically for one day. I mean, she's been a Hulk for months at this point, but she's only really Hulked out in public for like a day or so. So they're already.
Well, I think this is supposed to be later, right? Because we got a montage of her looking for jobs.
Okay, yeah, so maybe like a week. Okay,
yeah, I'd say let's say a week. It's not been long, is the point. Yeah. Yes.
And they already expect her to be like a master at superheroes. Well, she probably hadn't even at that point been hulking out that much anyway. Because, I mean, I don't know if that was her house or Nikki's house. She was still just Jen. Like, she's not at the point where she wants to be She-Hulk all the time. She still would just rather be Jen.
Yes. Which, listen, we get that from Bruce too. So I get it. We get a bunch of questions, and then even her aunt is like, I got a stylist for you, and make your regular hair look more like She-Hulk's hair, which a lot of folks have brought up, I will say.
Yeah, because I mean, when she turns into She-Hulk, her hair gets longer, straighter. So I mean, I don't know how the physics of that works, but I'm sure no one will explain it to us. I was really kind of hoping we would get more content about like were Bruce's parents there? Like, I wanted a little more backstory, like about who Bruce's parents were as well. I mean, I know this is Jen's show, but since we're in this family, can we get some like Bruce parent content? I thought that would be interesting to see, but not a lot of talk about it.
Yeah, is Bruce's mom the stylist? I hope not.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
No, because then Ched would be his brother, and I refuse to believe that's real.
Yeah.
So no. That's not true. And again, we get the iconic Hawkeye. What happens to the arrows?
I mean, it's a good question. I really would like to know. I mean, like we said before, there's no funding anymore. We can't just be making a bunch of arrows all the time. Plus, it's probably not environmentally friendly. Like, we gotta find. And I mean, what if a kid picks up one of those arrows?
That's what I'm saying. That those are weapons. And then someone's just like, I'm Hawkeye, and just throws it at their friend. And friend is gone.
Hey, Mom, look what I found right in your calf.
Oh, my God. I can't. As the kid's expert here. Yeah. I feel like you have something to say, say about that, yeah, than us. Anyway, and then we get a nice heart-to-heart, which Marvel is giving us dads, okay? They're giving us amazing dads.
The dads are coming in strong for these young ladies, for sure.
Yeah, shout out to Kamala's dad and now this, or Kamala, sorry. Anyway, so then she confesses how she hates that the entire world knows about her Hulk side now. And, you know, she feels like the DA kind of letting her go amounted her to getting punished for doing what's right. Yes.
She's like, maybe I just show those people get smushed. Man, that would be better. I like how she's still having these dark thoughts.
Superheroes, they're just like us.
Yeah.
I love it. And then we get, you know, a great dad moment, because I love that this isn't even the first time we've had to deal with the Hulk and the family. And you didn't even destroy a city.
I mean, yeah, the bar is low for like inappropriate behavior for Hulks. I mean, correct. We had someone destroy a whole city. So you're nowhere near as bad as that. Like, you got to be better than that.
He said, Mance was a monster. You just happened to be green and 6'7".
You saved That's people. He hurt people. So you're yes. good so far. You're good.
So again, just dads are coming up. Will the dads get a spinoff? I need it. Okay.
a buddy road trip comedy.
Oh, imagine all of these dads coming. Oh man, and they're all showing off about their daughters, just like being these badass superheroes. Yeah.
Well, my daughter can embiggen.
Listen, so can mine, but right. It's just can't maybe Hulk back down after she begins. All right. Anyway, so then she's now, they're back at the legalese where now the Holden Holloway, which is an attorney she was facing off with last week, shows up and goes, I have an offer. You can't refuse them. Just kidding. But she gets a job, and he wants her to head up a whole new division and to start on Monday.
Yeah. So this is pretty much ripped right out of the comics. She-Hulk gets fired from her job. I'm not sure if she was DA at the time or she was just at another law firm, but she gets fired and she is drowning her sorrows at the bar. She's actually hanging out with a kind of nobody supervillain, and she beats him. They actually hang out afterwards and drink. And Holden Holloway approaches her at the bar and offers her this job. So, I mean, that is pretty much ripped right out of the comics here.
Got it. Thank you. And I love that, you know, instead of asking normal questions, like, what is it? Give me more info. Email the contract. Yes. Yada, yada. We're back at the office.
Yeah. So yeah, at the law, like when she meets him at the law firm and he says to her, like, he says, I'm starting up this new superhuman division. Cause he doesn't tell her it's superhuman at first. He just says a new division.
Yeah.
So then she finds out it's a superhuman division. And then the caveat also is, I only want you to be here and in court as She-Hulk. Like, I want She-Hulk to head up this team. I want She-Hulk to be the face of it. Interestingly enough, in the comic book, this was the inverse of what this was. In the comic book, he wanted Jen. He actually wanted Jen Walters. He didn't want She-Hulk.
Oh.
And because of where Jen Walters was in her life at the time in the comic book, she really wanted to be She-Hulk all the time. She did not ever want to be Jen Walters. She wanted to stay She-Hulk. So this was basically the opposite of what she wanted. So I think this is what is giving in the show. This is the opposite of what you want. You want to be Jen Walters. We're going to force you to be She-Hulk. In the comic, it was, you want to be She-Hulk, we're forced to be Jen Walters. So a little bit of an inverse there of what the comic was, which was a very interesting difference there.
Yes. I think it makes sense, right? Because this, we're dropped into the start of her life here versus then. It's maybe a little bit more established. Yeah. So here we are changing things. And I couldn't like help but be so cringe because she's walking right down the hallway and it's giving every minority out there, right? Whatever minority you have been, you may, I'm sure you've been in some kind of situation where she's passing a conference room and it's a bunch of old white men shaking their heads at her and then turn to stare at her. And then she's just so uncomfortable, rightfully so, because she's like, oh, I have to act like this now. And she's not coming to terms even with the name, let alone her new being. So it's giving tokenization. It's giving token hire.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and the show pretty much lets you know that up front. I love that about the show, where it's not hiding this. It's not, it's confronting these issues up front, which some, you know, some people in certain communities may be upset about, but yeah, go kick rocks.
Yeah, like, wake up.
Yeah. So it's a very fun thing. I did want to be like, since this is a Superhuman Law division, like in the comic book, when this scene takes place and when Holden is walking her around the office, there's a lot of different scenarios taking place. We get to see different things happening that are like comic book related. I want to see a little bit of that in this, where like some superhuman things are happening. Maybe we get to meet, maybe we meet Wong for the first time and we get to know like what's happening with him. I just wanted some superhuman comic elements in here, since this is a Superhuman Law division, and maybe give us a little preview of what we'll be dealing with in these certain cases. But it was the standard walking around the office. This is all a bunch of old white guys. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it was interesting. Again, here's where we want our protagonist to have some kind of like friends, because when she gets to her office, right, it's an amazing office. Nikki's there because she said, no, Nikki has to be my paralegal. And which was so nice. And I appreciate it because it seems like Nikki quit her job as well as soon as Jen quit her job. But I'm not entirely sure. Just felt like that, as they were both in on the couch.
If you're gonna fire her, you're gonna fire me. I'm walking out with her.
Man said, who are you? Bye.
Yeah, exactly. I did like how Holden was just like, I don't give a shit what you do. I don't care what paralegal you hired.
Yeah, whatever. He's like, what's a paralegal? Great, fine. He probably was like, I wish you asked for like a house, because that would have given you I would have probably done that too. So I agree, and I think this is where we could have got a little bit more lawyering, or we could, you know, I just keep going back and forth on give me something more, give me more Marvel, or give me more lawyering, but it was very much still getting to know everything.
Yeah, it was a lot of world building, a lot of setup.
Yes.
I think we will get to lawyering eventually. We'll get to arguing cases. I would imagine in this 9-episode run, we're already down 2, and we saw a little bit of lawyering in the first episode, like a little itty bitty bit. But I would imagine you'll maybe get you know, we know that Daredevil is popping up. We can assume that Matt Murdock is going to be popping up with that, and there will be some sort of courtroom shenanigans going on there. Although I think Jen and Matt Murdock are pretty much on the same side of arguing cases. They're both defense lawyers.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll be going head to head, but maybe they'll be co-counsel. I don't know. There's going to be some courtroom shenanigans. There has to be. If this show goes by without Matt Murdock and Jen Walters not in the same courtroom, that will be a cardinal sin of the show.
Oh, gauntlet has been thrown, y'all. All right. Yeah, for sure. You heard it here first. And then we get into her beautiful, beautiful office. And they're Nikki and her excited, la, la, la. And then we get a new colleague, Jason, because he walks in with a care package of office supplies, snacks, and again, bathroom references, because direction to the best bathroom for pooping.
Listen, that's like a golden ticket, right? Like that bathroom that's like, you can lock it. There's like one single like toilet / urinal in there. Like you can have peace and quiet. You don't have to be with it. Like, that's a golden ticket for the best bathroom to poop in. That's the most important bathroom in any office, I would imagine.
Yeah. And this is where I wonder if they were trying to show, at least for me, but I don't know, where I think men care a little bit more. I'm very much making biases and sweeping generalizations. I know this. Okay. And stereotyping, all of it, all of it. But I feel like that's very much like something a man would tell another man versus like, I don't know that women necessarily always share that with each other. That's all I mean.
Well, listen, speaking as a man, I don't speak for all men. Speaking for my singular man, that's definitely something I would do. Like, listen, you want the quietest bathroom, you want the one away from everyone that no one's going to walk in after you, be like, who blew up this bathroom? This is the one. This is it. You go down to the seventh floor. Oh, now in the corner office where it's been vacated and it has just that bathroom in the office, that's where you go.
Yeah, like this is something like I'm married to like a techie, aka an engineer in San Francisco. One of the best things he feels about the office are the toilets. And he loves to be like, no, it's that Toto, you know, the Japanese Toto washlet that has all of it. Like, it's very important for him.
It washes and dries your butt afterwards.
And like, it's heated seats.
Oh my gosh. That's the pinnacle of luxury.
Listen, so that's when I was like, I have heard this and I very much given blank stares back. Not that it isn't important, but it's not something like I talk about. So
it's on top of your priority list. Like it would be, thank you. Like it would be mine.
Yes, exactly. But who walks in? Augustus Pug Pugly. Pugly.
Yes. So this is a character from the book, Pug, who in the comic is kind of a bigger framed guy. He's kind of dorky, kind of doofy. Not Josh Segarra, who is like a model ripped out of the magazine. I really, really, really like this actor. I've seen a lot of stuff. I think I first saw him in this weird kind of comedy that was on like USA Network a long time ago called Sirens, about a bunch of EMTs. That's where I first saw him. And then he was in Arrow, where he played a villain. And then most recently he was in the Comedy Central comedy The Other Two, where he's kind of playing this doofy, he plays a doofy like guy, like doofy dumb guy really well. But in Arrow he did great too, playing kind of this menacing character. So he's got a lot of range. I really enjoyed everything I've ever seen him in, so I'm sure that I will enjoy him here. He had a very, very, very brief appearance here, but I'm looking forward to what else we'll get from him. In the comics, he does have a thing for Jen / She-Hulk. So I wonder if we'll see that here.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense. And Josh from our Discord even gave us some feedback that, oh, same as us, where he was like, oh, I'm not really sure like what's going on with this great actor. But then he said when they got to the credits, he is second billed, at least out of four of the main cast members, which means maybe he comes later and he does become a bigger part of this.
Yeah, I can imagine that being the case, but I also do think this is a very big ensemble show outside of Tatiana Maslany, aka Jen. So you know, it would be hard to say who would get second billing because it seems like everyone else is kind of supporting characters outside of Jen. So who knows? I mean, it would be great for him to have a bigger role in the comics. They do work a lot side by side on cases, so I can definitely see that being the thing here too.
Yes. So let's see. We got to keep our eyes peeled. And then it's time for work because Holden drops another bomb on Jen and says her first assignment is securing the parole of Emil Blonsky. Maybe we know him. Maybe we don't.
A little bit. I did like before that, though, where he's talking to his like secretary. He's like, he's like, yeah, tell Bill he's going to Minnesota because he really hates the cold, so he'll enjoy that. And tell this guy that he's fired. Like he enjoys giving out bad news, it seems.
Yes, and I think we need to talk about the law firm, which I forgot to bring up. But GLK and H, that's the law firm Jen is going to be working at, which stands for Goodman, Lieber, Kurtzberg, and Holloway.
Yep, it is the exact law firm in the comics. Mm-hmm. Holden Holloway is in the comics. So, you know, beat for beat, same type of character. In the comics, he's a little nicer.
That makes
sense. In this iteration, not as much. So, yeah, the just little slight difference, but pretty much the same character.
Got it. Yes. And just so y'all know, Goodman is a reference to Marvel's original publisher, Martin Goodman. Lieber is a reference to Stan Lee, a.k.a. Lieber. And Kurtzberg is Jack Kirby. So wanted to just let y'all know they're never actually shown. And that's why we get GLK and H, because H is the one we see. Anyway, for, you know, folks that maybe don't know a lot about She-Hulk that are joining us. So want to let y'all know. Anyway, so yes, now Emil Blonsky. I can't. This is wild because y'all, he is in jail. Okay, what is this? Is this jail, a maximum security, whatever, for trying to murder her own cousin?
Yeah, it's interesting. She's like, yeah, well, I mean, I obviously can't represent him because it would be a conflict of interest. He's like, oh yeah, he doesn't care. He signed a conflict waiver. It's fine. And she's just like, oh, well, I don't want to do it. He's like, well, you don't do it. You can't work here. So that's it. he basically tells her to think about it, go see him. Did you think that with all the security happening, and this was, you know, what was the acronym? Something DODC, Department of Damage Control. So it's kind of carrying over from like Ms. Marvel, with Damage Control being this big organization that kind of sort of maybe resembles what SHIELD was.
That's
kind of
a
law enforcement arm of the government, maybe. So did you think we would see the actual Abomination at first, or were you surprised that we got Emil Blonsky?
So they said Emil Blonsky, right? And in the previews we saw it, that's the only reason I felt like that's what we're going to get.
I also think like it was funny when he's like, yeah, I don't really turn to Abomination anymore. And then this is in my mind, I was like, oh, okay, the show ran out of budget for CGI. We got a lot going on with CGI, so we can't really afford to have Abomination running around too. We'll just keep him as his human form.
Yeah, and just so folks are like, who the F is Abomination? He was in 2008's The Incredible Hulk, which was not played by Mark Ruffalo, but Edward Norton. And then and Blonsky is a British Marine contacted to the U.S. government to take down the Hulk. And along the way, he was dosed with super soldier serum again. We know who that was. And gamma radiation, which combined made him into the Abomination. So if Captain America and Hulk had a baby, it would be Abomination.
Huh. Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, because that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Yeah.
You know, here that. I am. Yes, thank you. Anyway, so but he did go on a deadly rampage in Harlem before the Hulk took him down. He also appeared, which we know later, was in Shang-Chi. So that's where, if y'all are like, who the F is this? That's who it is. And then it's odd, it's confusing, but roll with it, okay? So Jen is about to decide, and I appreciate that Holden says, just go talk to him first.
Yeah, and I did really appreciate kind of Emil Blonsky's kind of interpretation of his side of things. He's like, look, I was contracted by your government to hunt down the Hulk and like stop him. Like, that was your government. And Jen, like, the light bulb goes off in her head, and she's like, oh, so the things you did were because the government gave you the serum? And I think she's really formulating in her head, like, oh, so that I can use this as a kind of defense. And like Emil Blonsky, like, I thought I was going to be Captain America. Like, I thought I was going to be the hero, and here I am locked up while the freaking Hulk is out there running around being a hero, being put up on his pedestal, getting to snap his fingers and bring everybody back. He's the big hero, blah, blah, blah. So it was interesting getting his side of it, and remembering from the movie, that all makes sense. That all kind of tracks. If you remember the Incredible Hulk movie, yes, in the movie he was kind of a like madman in a sense.
But listen, that's the thing, right? Because Bruce was seen or the Hulk was seen as the bad guy.
Yes.
Allegedly. You know, that's what sold to him. So he's like, what do you mean? Like, I was just trying to do the job.
Right. So in his mind, when we meet him, he's like, yeah, he's all about namaste. He's all about like,
what does that mean, y'all? Okay, namaste just means hello, everyone. Stop it.
listen, y'all out there, you love to educate us some more, of course.
I mean, as an Indian who, you know, speaks the language, yeah. It's like, these people are crazy. Like, he does the whole, like, hands thing. Namaste, literally, literally in Sanskrit means I bow to you, and where you, like, you know, put your hands together and put, come down. And then what? And it's, like, being co-opted.
So they really appropriated it, basically.
Yes. Because if y'all thinking about peace, that's om, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and not om.
Yeah. So, okay. But anyway, he's all about this, like, peaceful side of himself. Now, do you think that this is, like, for real, or he's saying this to get out of prison and reign terror?
All I'm saying is points were made. All right. For sure. That's what I have to say, because he talks about the apology haiku. I can't. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't a monologue, but this whole conversation is so good. And, you know, it has, like, high rewatchability, because he says, you know, I want to show my remorse. Like, I'm wrong. I know. And then goes to a Tinder swindler, because he says 7 soulmates that he met through a pen pal program bought him some land.
He wants to build a compound and live with his people. I mean I'm not sure if this was supposed to, like, be like 7 ladies he's met through the love during lockup kind of type of
call Bryce.
Yeah, call Bryce Isaiah, get him on the podcast, because, you know, that's his thing. So I'm wondering if that's what, you know, well, that's what this is. He's met some ladies on the outside and convinced them all to kind of join his, maybe he's trying to make a cult. I don't know.
Listen, all I know is, how did you get 7 soulmates, you know, but it's okay. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah. I think in him talking about the government and talking about what the government made him do because of this, I think that, unfortunately, no fault of Marvel's, there's a missed opportunity here, because William Hurt played Thunderbolt Ross in The Incredible Hulk, who was responsible for giving Emil Blonsky this super soldier serum that turned him into the Abomination. I just feel like it would be so, like, fantastic if we had him still here. I think we'd get, like, a nice scene, like, in a courtroom where Thunderbolt Ross is, like, trying to, like, cover his ass. He's just like, you know, he wanted to take it. I think that would have been a great scene to have. Unfortunately, we will never get it, because William Hurt has passed on to the beyond. I just think it would have been so fun if we could have gotten that type of scene in this show.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is kind of the space for a lot of speculation about the Thunderbolts. Because, one, are they in the cube? Which
seems to be that prison that we didn't get an official name for, but it was, like, cube structures. So
is it the cube? Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, and I think a lot, like you said, a lot of speculation has been that Abomination will be part of the Thunderbolts, which, if you don't know what the Thunderbolts are, and if you know what the Suicide Squad is on the DC side, that's basically what this is for the Marvel side, villains teaming up to work for the government. So I would just imagine at some point you will get scenes in the cube with, what's her name, with Valentina, her name is, the Julia Louise Dreyfus character, rounding up all of her people. You would imagine the Thunderbolts, there will be some homage to Thunderbolt Ross. I would have to imagine.
They better, first of all. I agree. I think this is a huge setup for Thunderbolt, because, and a lot of folks have been saying this online too, that, you know, she could be arguing a community service piece if she takes the role, as, like, a community service moment, and then say, like, he'll fight for good. And that's how, you know, the Thunderbolts are kind of, like we said, the anti-heroes. Yeah. So let's see. I wanted to bring that up, because this whole thing is so creepy. We get a, like, the whole setup is Silence of the Lambs. And then she even says when she walks in and the security guard is giving her information on how to talk to Emil or the Abomination. And then if folks were scared about the lasers, I wanted to also point out, because she gets pretty scared about the lasers because Bruce melted her blood samples or DNA or whatever in episode 1 with lasers. So I think she was like, oh, does that, like, will it get me?
Listen, a normal person that has seen lasers destroy stuff would be like, is that laser going to destroy me? It makes sense. I didn't think about that, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
I did like how they played with our expectations in the lead up to her meeting Emil, because it's all this top secret security. The guard is like very like stern. He's very like, don't play around. This is a prison. This is a dangerous guy. And then like once the gate opens, it's like, oh, it's just this kind of like kind of short-ish guy. Like,
yeah,
it's just Emil Blonsky. It's not Abomination. It's just Emil Blonsky. And it makes me wonder, like, Emil Blonsky has mastered, you know, turning himself back into Emil Blonsky. I have to question, like, what's wrong with Bruce? Like, Bruce had all this trouble, like,
no,
integrating himself. Jen is fine. Emil can apparently switch back and forth at will. Maybe the problem is Bruce.
No, how dare you? It's actually because of the Captain America piece for Emil, okay? The gamma radiation is not his major thing. That's my fan fiction.
Just give him the excuses. That's fine.
Yes, the soldier serum, it works wonders. But so yeah, I wanted to also touch on that piece as like our conspiracy corner, I feel, because not sure what will happen with Thunderbolts, with Emil Blonsky. Is this our first one? Let's see. So many questions. And with that, you know, she kind of likes it and likes him and likes this role to maybe help him. So Holden says, I need your decision. End of day. What's up, Jen? But she's still conflicted. So this is where Jason and I had said, what are we going to do about Mr. Bruce? Because can't constantly have him. So she calls up her cousin and she's basically like just word vomiting all over the place about what should we do for Emil Blonsky? You know, like he's like helping. I'm trying to free him, but one's trying to kill you. What's up? Bruce is like, I feel like immediately we're good. No worries.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where we get the whole, like, you know, Emil wrote me a haiku some time ago. We're good now. Like, I'm a different person now. Literally, he might as well have turned to the camera and winked. Like, I'm literally a different person now. Wink. Like, I mean, if you don't know, I mean, where you living under a rock? But Ed Norton was the first Incredible Hulk who played the Hulk / Bruce Banner when he went up against Emil Blonsky in that original movie. So, yes. Mark Ruffalo is quite a different person than Ed Norton. I don't feel like I had to explain the joke, but I felt like I had to explain the joke.
Yeah.
Maybe there's somebody that didn't get it.
Listen, yeah. We said it right before I introduced Emil, and now we said it again. We bookended this. Okay, so don't play us on why is this joke funny. Because here it is. Okay. She-Hulk leaning into all of it. And then Bruce says, it's okay. We're good. Let it be. And then her conscience is clear. And he goes, yeah, cool. I gotta go. Bye.
Yeah. So he says, gotta go. I got something to do. He cuts off the phone call. Then we reveal that he is in the, looks like the same spaceship that interrupted them first episode. And the spaceship blasts off into like hyperspace. So we can only assume that he is going off to Sakaar to deal with whatever this was that, you know, interrupted him and Jen. To him and Jen's road trip in the first episode. Can only assume that. And I think we have to, you know, like we wondered last episode. Hopefully this is the last time we will wonder about it in the She-Hulk series. And She-Hulk can have her show back.
He's literally in another planet now. Enough.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of, and I was looking online a little bit, and they were talking about how this deal that Disney/Marvel has with Universal, where Universal would take a lot of the profits from a Hulk movie. So Disney's like, we're not even going to make a Hulk movie. We will just have him in different things.
Yeah.
But apparently that was a 15-year contract, started in 2008, will it end in 2023? So the wonder is Hulk going to get a movie in Phase 6? In one of these unannounced movies that you may have seen out there on the internet with all the timeline laid out with only the two Avengers movies and the Fantastic Four movie. Is there going to be a Hulk standalone movie once they get all of the rights back from Universal? Will that be a Planet Hulk movie? With him going back to Sakaar and finding out he has a son, maybe some flashbacks to how he initially got to Sakaar from when he left in Age of Ultron. I'm thinking that's probably what we're going to get. That's my thought.
Yeah, and a lot of folks are saying that it'd be World War Hulk, right? That maybe he could turn into.
I mean, World War Hulk is more of him coming back to Earth after he is on Sakaar and being mad, because in the comics, the way he got to Sakaar was that he was jettisoned off of Earth by Reed Richards, Professor Xavier, a bunch of heroes like,
oh, the Hulk. Illuminati. That's what they're called, right?
What Illuminati did. Yeah. They're like, listen, Hulk, we've had about enough of you. We are going to capture you and we're going to blast you off into space.
Oh, that's so mean.
And that is where he landed in Sakaar in the comics. That's not what happened in the movies.
Yeah.
So that's what World War Hulk probably would be, but I think this would probably be named Planet Hulk.
Okay, got it.
More appropriately, Planet Hulk here, because that's what the story would be. I think he will come back to Sakaar. We would find some backstory about what happened when he first got there. He shacked up with somebody, had a son probably, whose name's Scar. I think that's where we're going.
Let's see. So that is where this episode kind of ends, where she accepts the case and tells her boss, she accepts her case, tells her boss, we're all good, I can do it, as if Holden was like, yeah, you had no choice. And then her boss goes, now turn on the TV, bye, after she accepts.
Yeah, he's like, here's some mess for you to deal with.
God, and the mess is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, finally.
Turns on the TV, and we get this reporter that says, there's been footage discovered of a, and this was kind of sloppy, the way they did this.
Yes.
As she says, there's been footage discovered of Abomination breaking out of prison and fighting in an underground fight. It was a very sloppy way of presenting this, because this supposedly had already happened months ago, because in the timeline, this happened. We all remember from this scene, this happened in Shang-Chi, which in this timeline where we are right now, Shang-Chi happened before the events of She-Hulk, because in the Shang-Chi post-credit scene, we see Bruce in a sling, and we now know that Bruce is out of the sling at this current moment. So it made it kind of seem like this is happening right at this moment, that Abomination has broken out of prison and he's fighting this underground fight club or whatever, but that's not what happened in the timeline. So they could have cleaned it up a little bit in the explanation. It was sloppy, but I'm curious to see what's going to come of this.
Yeah, because this is the Wong entrance, right? I'm assuming, because he's fighting Wong. So Wong has to be like someone that's gonna stand up for him, character witness or some version of that.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see what led up to that scene in Shang-Chi. Yes. Cause we'll find out why. Cause I mean, when it happened in Shang-Chi, it was just like, this is the most random thing you could ever think. Walking into this fight club, you see Wong and Abomination. Like that's crazy. Like I remember in the movie that I was like, where did they get this idea to do this? This is ridiculous. And then we see at the end of that fight in Shang-Chi, Wong opens a portal, and you literally see the jail cell that Emil Blonsky is in.
Yes.
In this episode. So we know that, you know, this happened in the past. At the time, I thought, is this like some form of like recreation for the Abomination? Like when he's in prison, he goes out to the yard and he just like fights, kind of spars with Wong a little bit. But maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was some kind of prison break. It's not making sense right now, but I can't wait to see how they explain it next episode.
Yeah. So what I was thinking, instead of prison recreation, was, is this him or Wong like seeing the good in him and really like learning or teaching him how to control being bad and being like, okay, let's like train you up. Because we got Jen's training sequence. Was that Abomination's training?
Yeah, that's an interesting theory as well. I would imagine we're going to get some sort of flashbacks next episode to see how this came about. And I am really intrigued by that.
Bring Shang-Chi back. How many times do I have to bang on this podcast?
And I don't think we're going to see Shang-Chi in this series, I don't think.
No, we're not. They said one Asian only, and I'm just kidding. Yeah. Jamila's Asian. It's one. That's why I said the joke. Anyway, so it's... that's where it ends, because it says, oh, that sucks. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, we did get a nice post-credit scene.
Was it?
It was really random.
Like, okay, yeah, thank God. Because I was like, you know what? This is another one that goes to the theory of this would have been a great first post-credit scene.
True, yeah.
Because it's her understanding her powers and then her family kind of using it.
Yeah, it was her helping, lifting a car to help change a tire. She's hanging a TV for her dad, which, you know, Ched comes in. He's like, yeah, I could have done that.
Shut up, Ched.
Yeah, shut up, Ched. I'm sure that gets said a lot in that family. And she's helping to carry a bunch of water jugs. It was kind of, it was like, okay, this is something.
Yeah. So that's why now that I think about it, it makes way more sense for first episode and that to be the end credit for a first episode. Because that works way better. Because Jen's like, life is on track. She's taking Emil's case and she's helping out her family. And she's coming into She-Hulk.
Yeah, sure. I just think... could have done without it altogether.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when last week's post-credit scene was so funny.
Yeah, to go from like the best post-credit scene to like probably the least in Marvel history.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, so interesting difference, interesting like dichotomy there. I wasn't digging it as much as the first episode, obviously. Yeah.
But again, that could have been the finale post-credit scene. That's why it was so good.
For sure. But yeah, this episode as a whole,
yes,
fun, but not great. It was good, yeah, not great.
Very much agreed. Rewatchability is low compared to the first episode as well. I feel because I felt like we got almost everything out of it, or you could watch at least one or two, like Easter egg videos on YouTube in addition to listening to us, and you'd be good, you'd be caught up on what's going on versus like the fun of the first episode. So it again, no shade, and can't wait for episode 3.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of questions answered in episode 3. I think we're going to meet a lot. We're going to get a lot more of these supporting characters.
Yeah.
We'll get more Pug, maybe more Nikki. I think we're really, really, really dive into the world. Are you like excited to see this whole dating montage she's going to go on?
Yeah. Again, if they do it funny, right? Yeah. Where I need some humor in it, and then I'm fine with it, because I think that's what we were promised in the trailer. So that's why I see the show in that lens as it for right now, because that's what I was hoping it was. And these first two episodes are so much world building, as you said. So I'm ready for her life.
Yeah. I just don't want a whole episode clogged up with that.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to get into a lot of nitty gritty story. You know, we've been promised Daredevil, we've been promised Wong, and there was Frogman in the trailer. Where are you gonna get Frogman?
Oh, that's probably after Emil now, I think.
Yeah, I'm ready to see more weird, like kooky stuff that you can see in the Marvel Universe from a legal sense. Like, I'm ready to see someone get sued over like property damage and see how that comes about. Like, I'm ready to see kooky kind of court cases dealing with some of the more colorful characters of the Marvel Universe.
And this is the fun, like, after the fight stuff that we have questions about anyway. Right. So that's why I feel like this is a show that's trying to give us that. So let's do a 45-minute episode so we just know what's going on.
Yeah, these 30-minute episodes are way, way, way too short. You've spoiled us, Marvel, with your 45-minute to an hour shows. Let's get back to that. I want more.
Yeah, because your shows are good, okay? Don't give us good stuff and take it away. All right.
Imagine how much better they can be if you give the appropriate breathing room.
Period. And in addition, just before we wrap up, we have to talk about, because I feel like this is setting us up for episode 3, where this week, and Chappelle tagged us in it, and we got it as well, where Jimmy... The character of Titania is out here in these streets painting over She-Hulk.
Such a good publicity stunt for the show. I do have to wonder if that was actually Jameela Jamil, because...
No, I doubt.
Yeah.
Because we didn't see her face.
Yeah, I didn't see her face. Only saw the back of her. So I would imagine it's probably like a double for her. But I think it would have been 10 times funnier if it was actually her. But yeah, a very nice Wilkie Stunt with her painting over She-Hulk posters, writing on She-Hulk posters. Very fun stunt they did for the show.
Yes. So again, I'm excited for what they do next week, or I hope at least they do something fun every week, because I feel like that shouldn't take that much time for them to do. So appreciate it, Marvel. I like this stuff because I think it goes well with what the show is supposed to be. This like comedy. Yes. So I'm excited for episode 3. Jason, anything else before we wrap up?
You know, I think we've covered it all. I think we're ready to wrap this one up.
Perfect. And if you have any feedback, comments, questions for the sidekick section, make sure you let us know. One, we at Post Show Recaps or our Twitters or at super@postshowrecaps.com so that the amazing Brendan can put it all together for us and we can talk about it here. And before we get to our plugs, make sure you subscribe to this feed, okay? Because we're giving you content, we're giving you behind the scenes, we're giving you comic books. What more you need? Give us that 5-star review, okay? And thank you everyone for listening. But before you go, Jason, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. You can find me every week on my podcast called A Perfect Match with Asia Welch. We talk about the show Married at First Sight. Have a really fun time over there. Don't even need to watch a show. You can just hear us talk about it. We recap it all. Come join us. We have a Facebook group. We have a lot of fun. Come over, hang out, talk about it. That's all for me right now. Sasha, what about you?
And as for me, you can find me weekly over on Rehap Ups, where I talk mess magnets, aka all the messy celebrity news, pop culture vibes. I had Puya on this week to talk about YouTube boxing with KSI, which is going to happen soon. So we're excited this weekend, actually. So we're excited for that. We did a little bit of a preview, but we gave you like lots of mess around people dropping out, people fighting their girlfriends, like what's going on. Okay. All mess all the time. Go check that out over on Rob as a podcast/mess feed and weekly on Silent Podcast. I cover Survivor South Africa. It's over, y'all. I can't believe it. I'm really sad. But so good. Okay, like everyone should go watch that. Watch all the episodes and the season. So check that out over on Silent Podcast. And Never Have I Ever is back, baby. So Chappelle and I are covering that weekly over on oh my God, I said mess magnet over on Silent Podcast as well. And with that, you can follow everything else I'm doing on Twitter at funsize_04. Thank you everyone for listening. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.